Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. And that song right there, there could not have been a better song to sing before we received the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And it's always a blessing to see how God puts that all together. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would look with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 12. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 12. After David's great sins, we find that God sent the prophet Nathan to address David. And that's what we'll be reading this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again today, what a blessing it has been just being in church. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for working through the services already just to be a blessing. Now, as we open up your preserved word for us, I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching and the teaching once again. Pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. One thing that we all have in common is that we all sin. None of us are exempt from that. No matter where you go, even in this auditorium this morning, there is possibly lost sinners, and no doubt there are saved sinners. But we all sin. Too often we harden our hearts before we sin. Many during the sin, the only way that if you're saved that you can have any pleasure in sin is to harden your heart against God and the Holy Spirit. And then after we sin, we'll harden our hearts, as did David. Our thoughts would be that we can get by with sin, even though nobody gets by with sin. Our sins will find us out. The Bible very clearly reveals that to us. The book of Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 7, it says this: today, if you will hear His voice, if you're going to hear the voice of God, harden not your hearts. It's clear that David had hardened his heart and had been without God's Spirit ever since he made the choice to give in to the sin of lust with Bathsheba. God sent Nathan, and he used this example of this poor man and this rich man. David had no idea that God knew of his sin. He had hardened his heart and been blinded to the fact that Nathan came to confront him with his sins. He should have known that. He would have known that if he hadn't hardened his heart to God and the Spirit of God. But after he heard what David had actually done, just in a different set of circumstances, David was angry and said, surely this man's going to die. How in the world could he do this and not have any pity upon everyone that he would hurt? And Nathan, at that time, revealed, David, it's your sin. David had forfeited fellowship with God. He had forfeited the Spirit of God being upon him ever since he made the decision to give in to the sin of lust. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7 and 8, we find that God revealed what he had done for David, that David had to block out of his heart and his mind. He said, David, verse 7, he says, and Nathan said, David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. David was a shepherd boy. And for a shepherd boy to become the next king of Israel, that just doesn't happen. And yet God says, David, while you were yet a shepherd boy, I elevated you to the place when the highest position in Israel. I made you king. And I delivered thee out of hand of Saul. Do you remember how many times that you were running after for your life when Saul was chasing you and you would cry out to me and I would deliver you? Don't you remember those intimate relationships and those intimate communications that we had in your distress and when you cried out and I gave you this peace and I gave you this joy and I gave you this victory over Saul? I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah and if that had not been too little, if there was something else that you really had need of, all you had to do is ask. And I would, moreover, have given thee unto thee such and such things. What God revealed that he had done for David and what David's sin did to God. Verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord. First of all, you despised what you knew to be my commandments, what's right and what's wrong, what's righteous. That despise is to loathe, to have no regards for. And for you to do what you did, you despise, you had no regards for what I commanded you to do. And then again, verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house because thou hast despised me. Not only did you despise my commandments by doing what you did, not only did it show your disregard for what the way I wanted you to live and the commandments that I gave to you, but by doing that, you despised me. You show no regard for an almighty creator God who loved you enough to give you the very best. And today, who loved us enough to send his only begotten son. Amen. He did it for David too, but David didn't quite understand all that then, but we understand it very clearly today. That some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth and he lived a sinless life and he laid his life down on Calvary's cross for us. We have that knowledge. We have that insight. We have that history. There's no doubt we know that. And yet he despised God by committing these sins. And then we find that God told him the judgment that would come because of this. Even out of David's own mouth, thou shalt surely die. He could have taken his life. But we find here that God's judgment would be, first of all, it would not depart out of thine own house. I don't know that there's anything that could possibly bring us more grief than that comes out of our own house, our marriages, our families, our children, even affecting our grandchildren for the rest of our lives. The baby will die, and the baby did die. Amnon, his son, rapes his daughter Tamar. Can you imagine how that would affect your peace and joy in your life? I don't know that you'd ever get over something like that. If your own son raped your own daughter? Absalom then, his other son, will kill Amnon. David lives through this. How would we live through the fact that one of our own children killed one of our other children? And then after he kills Amnon, he leaves David. Now David's lost two sons. And David mourns after Absalom until it works out that Absalom does return only to lead a revolt against David. His own son wanted him dead. How would you feel if your own child wanted to kill you? And then Absalom is killed by Joab. So another son dies from thine own house. From thine own house. And then the message for this morning. What could have been? If David would have had insight into all these things, when that sin of lust entered his mind, if David would not have despised God, and if David would have repented of the sin of lust, none of these things would have happened. None of these things. They all were the result of wrong thinking. They all would be the result of David giving in to a sin that possibly was a sin that so easily besetted him, and we all have them. But all of us are sinners, and all of us have those sins that we're more apt to yield to. If David knew that he was apt to yield to these sins, when that sin come into his heart and his mind as he looked upon Bathsheba, if he would have repented right then and right there, none of these things would have happened. David would have kept God's Spirit on him. And we know what this did to David, as you would read Psalms chapter 51, as we'll read a little of that later on, but David very much was aware afterwards that he needed to have God's Spirit. But by blinding his heart, hardening his heart before the sin, gave way to the sin. Blinding and hardening his heart during the sin. And then hardening his heart, blinding himself to the sin after he committed it, led to this. If he had repented of the sin of the mind, he would have kept God's Spirit on him. His home life would have been different. Who knows how much of a blessing his children could have been to David in his old age? Who knows what kind of blessing then Amnon would have been to David if Amnon had not been affected by David's sin and possibly in his own heart said, if Dad can do it, I can have whatever I want, even if I have this unthinkable sin of lust for my own sister. And he would force his sister to rape her. No doubt Satan used that in his heart because of what he knew about his father. And then of Absalom. If David, my father, was able to kill whoever he wanted to murder, surely I can do this from my, even though he's my brother, he raped my sister, and this is something I can't live with. And because of David, if he was able to do it, then I should be able to murder whoever I want to murder. All of this happened because of, first of all, giving in to the sin of the mind and the heart of the old nature. Who knows? Instead of David having to go through all that, he could have grandchildren from Amnon coming in and grabbing grandpa's neck and bring a blessing. He could have had grandchildren from Absalom who could have fought in Israel's armies and battled for the cause of Christ. Who knows that his daughter, his family, how different it would have been if only he could have foresaw the future. What could have been? Even if David would have repented after the sin of adultery, so you make a mistake, you harden your heart because you're thinking, this is just between me and Bathsheba. I can keep it contained. And I can make sure that no one ever knows about this, which he's already lying to himself, because it was his own servant that he sent down before he sent down to bring her to him, said, she's married, David. trying to warn him and get him to think right. You don't understand, David, you're blinded to this. She's married. This is adultery. She has a husband. This is a sin against an almighty God. But David, in his own mind, has already hardened his heart, and so he's not thinking clearly already. And so he says, go get her for me. Even if after that, if he would have realized, what have I done? I got so caught up in the lust, I got caught up in my own desires and for seeing what I shouldn't have even saw with Bathsheba and been tempted and drawn to her. If only I would have not given in to that sin and at that point said, I need to confess this. It would not have been easy. Addressing sin never is easy, especially when it affects other people's lives. He first would have had to have cried out to God because of what you've done for me, God. As Nathan wanted him to see, after everything that God has done for you, and you would despise him and you would give in to that sin and you would do this to God? First of all, your sin is to God. If you're saved here this morning and whenever you commit a sin, you crucify Christ afresh. If you commit sin as a born-again believer, you're first of all, the sin is first of all against your Savior. It's against the God that sent his Son to die for you. And the first thing that you ought to do, because understanding that you do not hide anything from God. He is omniscient. He knows and sees it all. Satan can blind you and he can get you to harden your heart as to God being able to see this. But when you come to yourself, you realize, no, God has saw this. He knows exactly what's taking place. I can never hide anything from God. I cannot and will not ever get by with sin. And when you come to that place, even though it's something that you have to address that might be the sin of adultery, could be something even worse. But David could have, at that point, not hardened his heart, but he could have repented and looked to God and first of all and said, God, forgive me, for I have sinned. I've done the unthinkable. God, after everything you've done for me, I can't undo it. It's done. God, would you forgive me? That's not an easy prayer. Because you have to realize what you've done against the Savior, against the God that has loved you and done so much for you. But it couldn't have stopped there. After he had asked forgiveness from God, he had had to go to Bathsheba and said, even though, and some might have said that she knew that David would be out there and she actually tried to get David to look at her, there's never an excuse. And the guilt always falls first and foremost on leadership. The guilt always falls upon the one that should have known better. The authority in the situation. David was king of Israel. Yes, he could have, and he did sin for her. Whether she came willingly or whether she came because he commanded her to be brought to him, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. But the guilt would have been on David no matter what. And his sin would have been to God, and then he would have had to address Bathsheba, and he would have had to go to Bathsheba and said, Bathsheba, I've done wrong. Whether you understand it or not, I've sinned against a God of heaven that has done so much for me, and I have given you the wrong thinking. I've given you a wrong testimony. And Bathsheba, I ask for your forgiveness because I have sinned against you. And then he would have had to go to Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. Not an easy thing to do. And he would have had to say, Uriah, I don't know how you can do this, but I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm confessing to you this sin that I've committed. Then he would have had to go to his own family. Absalom would have been old enough to understand what had happened. Amnon would have been old enough to understand. And he said, I can't go back and undo this, but children, I've done something very wrong. And I'm confessing to you that I've sinned. And I don't want it to impact your lives. I don't want you to ever think that you can get by with sin. This is something that I've done that's a terrible example before you. And I don't want it to hinder you. And I'm asking God, and I've already made it right with Bathsheba. I made it right with Uriah. And I'm asking you, because it's been a sin against my own family, would you forgive me? Then he'd have to stand before the nation of Israel, because he was the king. And he would have had to ask for the entire nation's forgiveness. Not easy. But if he would have done that, he would not have become a murderer. It's something that everyone already knew. And David was the only one thinking that he had got by with it. David was the only one that had hardened his heart to think that he could get by with this, that God wouldn't see it, that Bathsheba wouldn't even recognize it, that Uriah wouldn't know about it, his own family wouldn't know about it, the nation wouldn't know about it. Everybody already knew. But because of the hardened heart, he didn't confess it. He didn't forsake it. And what would eventually happen when he realized he couldn't cover it up? He became a murderer. Who would have thought that? Just going out on the balcony, looking down and having this thought come into my mind, who would have thought that this one thought would lead me to become a murderer? What could have been if he had confessed it then? We know what happened. But what could have been? What could have been? Even if David would have repented after marrying Bathsheba, before God sent Nathan, there was ample opportunity. And the longer it went on, the more lives were affected by it. The harder his heart became. And the harder the heart, the more blinded the mind. Even when Nathan comes, he has no idea. It's because of his sin. We don't know what could have been, but we do know is what did happen. What we do know, and it's recorded in scriptures for us, that the longer we wait, the more damage is being done. Because if you've hardened your heart and you've blocked this out and you think that God doesn't know, listen to me, you do not have the fellowship with God. You do not have the Spirit of God upon your life. And everybody knows it, but possibly you. Now, Psalms 51. God reveals to us exactly what was going on with David. what could have happened. Is not what happened. What happened is because David did not repent until confronted by Nathan. If only he'd have done it on his own. Chapter 51, verse 10. David now crying out to God. This is what took place after he was confronted. Created me a clean heart. He didn't have a clean heart. He had a hardened heart. Created me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me. He didn't have a right spirit because he did not have the Spirit of God directing his thoughts. Do we understand what sin does? We're all sinners. The one thing we all have in common is that we will sin. You harden your heart before you sin. If you don't harden your heart when the temptations come, you realize it's sin against God. You realize what will happen if you commit the sin. And you say, Lord, forgive me of the very thoughts. Forgive me of this desire and cleanse my heart. And renew me with the Holy Spirit. Help me to be aware of your Holy Spirit as you're aware of everything in my life. If we do that, none of the other things happen. We don't lose the presence of God. We don't lose the fellowship of God. We have a clean heart. We have a tender heart to the ways and the will of God. We will sin, but when we sin, we must immediately understand where that sin is going to lead us. And before it has a chance to do any further damage, confess and forsake. Confess, I'm guilty. Forsake, saying, I do not ever want this sin again. I don't want to go that direction. That is not the future that I want. David sees that now. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Because now he knows exactly what had taken place and how it got to where it went. Restore unto me something that he didn't even realize had left. The joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Don't want to lose that. And I don't want to have to suffer the consequences from losing that. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice. You can't buy your way out of it. You can't make it better by sacrificing something else. Some have this mentality that, well, if I commit sins, as long as I do something good, it all equals out. If I commit sin, if I can go and maybe go soul winning, do something good and win somebody to the Lord, well, me winning somebody to the Lord will overcome the consequences of my sins. And God will just wipe the slate clean. That does not happen. You cannot tempt God. You cannot barter with God. He's not looking for sacrifices on what you can do or what you can give to make up for what you've done. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. For the sacrifices of God, this is what he's looking for in every one of us. A broken spirit. I've done wrong. A broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. I like that word, despise, because that's exactly what David had done to God. A contrite heart, a broken and contrite heart, a showing sincere remorse. That's what God's looking for at whatever stage of sin we're in. Hopefully, it's seen in the early stage. Because if it's confessed in the early stage, none of the other would have happened. But the more it went on without the confession, the more Satan used it in his own family's lives. David never did get to enjoy the blessings in his old age of his children and his grandchildren. It was all forfeited because David waited too long to repent, to confess and forsake sin. Oh, that we would learn from that. You can't change what already has taken place, but you can change what has yet to take place. What will happen? We'll be asking when it's too late, what could have been? David, you're looking back over and saying, what could have been? Instead of what has happened? Can I tell you that possibly this morning, through the preaching of this passage of Scripture and why God has it in the Scriptures for us to read and learn from, it could be quite possibly God saying, if you would look ahead and see what will happen if you continue on your way, I'm giving you a little glimpse into what will happen if you don't turn to God today. And no matter how difficult it might be, confess it today, because it'll only get harder and harder the longer you wait. And the longer you wait, the more damage will be done. Whew. What could have been? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, what could have been? I don't know just how God might be speaking to you right now. And I don't know what stage of sin that you might be in. But I know we all are sinners. And we all will deal with the results of our sin. But let us do what we need to do to keep our sins from destroying so many others, especially from within our own homes. Father, we thank you for the example that you have given to us. We thank you for how you've met with us and spoke to us during this service today. And God, I pray that each one here would take heed. If there is a need right now to confess and forsake, that we would be willing and ready to do it now. Not to prolong it, but to do it right here, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.